your father. Choir, you can be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you that where two or three are gathered in your name, Father, you are in the midst, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for coming and speaking to us through your word, that you would want to say to us, Father God, not what a denomination, an organization, a man, a creed, but what your spirit would want to say to us tonight, Father God. Lord, help me to speak your word in accuracy, Father, and in truth, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we lift up Sister Sherry to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over her. We rebuke the fever, the infection, in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I pray that she is resting right now peaceably, Father, and at peace. And Lord, let your presence just hover over her, because, Father, you're an omnipresent God, Father, and we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in the last days. I'm going to continue on something I started last month, or the month before that, because last month we didn't minister because Heather had some family in. But I thank God that God is so faithful, that he's so loving, that he's so true. He's truer to you than your wife or your husband is. Thank you for the amens in the building. He's a God that loves you with an everlasting love. He's a God that will never forsake you. He's a forgiving God, but he's also a just God. We always hear about the forgiving aspects of God, but we never hear about the just aspects of God. I'm not going to go into that tonight because the Lord didn't tell me to, but I just thought I'd say that. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 3:1. I need to turn there myself. We're living in the last days. We see in the news that the bridge, the collapse in Minnesota, where the Bible talks about catastrophic times, times of trouble, times of grief, times of great pressure, times of great anguish. And just think, if you were the one that was on that bridge when it decided to collapse, thank God that we know who to call on, and if we died, we would go to heaven. But what about those that don't know who to call on, that didn't go to heaven? But we're living in a time where you and I can be great lights and great beacons and lighthouses in these last days. And that's exactly what Christ wants from us. We're living in a day where men and women go to buildings and organizations that talk about a gospel without a Christ and without a cross. And talking about a gospel without a Christ and without a cross is like playing a football game without a football, or starting a car with no oil or gasoline. Thank you for the amen. But it happens every Sunday, every month, every week, every day, every hour. We're living in a day where men and women gather in a building and there is no Christ preached. There is no cross preached. Jesus talked about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him more than anybody in the scripture today. And Paul echoes it and the disciples echoed it. But Jesus said these marvelous, marvelous, marvelous words: the kingdom of heaven is at hand in your eyes today. Repent and be saved. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, deny one's selfish ambitions. That means if Jesus comes to you today and says, I want you to give up your job, are you willing to give up your job? Are you willing to forsake all for the kingdom? I don't believe we have a Christianity today that portrays that in these last days. And that's exactly the type of Christianity that we need in America. One that will forsake all for Jesus. One that will give all for Jesus. One that will live sold out to our Lord and Savior. We're living in a time that the Bible talks about that is catastrophic, troublesome times. And it's an evident thing that in the churches of America, we don't hear messages on getting closer to God, or letting Christ be formed in you, which is the hope of glory, or we don't hear things like the love of Christ constraineth me. We hear other things, and you all know what I'm talking about. But we're living in a time, Jesus said, these things must be, but the end's not here yet. But these signs are here. But the end is not yet. Troublesome times, catastrophic times. Let's read this. This know that in the know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We're living in a time where the Bible tells us to turn away from men and women that describe all these things in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We're living in a time that we need to turn away from certain things that just aren't biblical, that just aren't right. We don't even need to give them space on our TV or in our ears because it's just not right. It's just not biblical. We don't need to waste our precious time. Jesus said, the Bible talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if we're living in the last days and the days are evil, my brother and sister, we need to redeem the time. We don't need to waste precious time on false doctrine. When we know what's wrong, we just need to click the channel. I'd rather watch The Price is Right than some men on television. I'm being truthful. Ain't no sin in that. I'm serious. I'd rather watch The Price is Right than some of the things that are on Christian television. Just because they're on there doesn't mean they're right. They had to pay for that airtime. I love it when God does miraculous things. And just because they're on the air don't mean the world's going to be saved through Christian television. The Bible still does it one-on-one. You're still got to be an example on your job and in the marketplace and at the gas station. Jesus still calls you to live a holy, thankful, and pure life, even in these last days. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it's a peace the world can't give us and the world can't take away. Trouble may come, but trouble's not going to take the peace that God gives us and that God grants us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's an epidemic to me that men would stand behind a pulpit and talk about a gospel without a Christ and without a cross. And yet it happens every Sunday morning. We don't even have services on Sunday night because we don't know how to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus anymore. We just know how to give the people what they want and have high-octane services and high-impact services and services that entertain instead of services that teach and warn. It's imperative that the men that stand behind pulpits understand they're going to give an account before God and before man, before every hearer at their within the sound of their voice. Every hearer that hears the sound of their voice, they're going to give an account to. Men and women's blood are going to be required of people's hands. And oh, that we would have somebody stand up and stand out and say, do you understand the time that we live in, that men and women's blood are going to drip from your hands because you did not warn them. You knew to warn them, but you chose not to because you would rather give the people what they want than what they need. It's an imperative thing that God don't always answer every prayer I pray. Thank you for the amen. God doesn't always say yes. A lot of times He's told me no many a times, and we get impatient. We don't like it when God tells us no, so we're like spoiled brats. We want to go and do our own thing. And we wind up in trouble and we wonder why. Because we didn't listen to God. We didn't listen to His voice. We didn't listen to His clear direction through His Word. Anytime I begin to go through something, when I go to God's Word, it speaks to me loudly and clearly and precisely about every circumstance, about every trial, about every situation of my life. It will speak directly to me. And oh, I'm thankful for the warnings of God. I'm thankful for the go the other direction, don't go this way. I'm thankful that God, when we're sons and we're daughters, He chastises us and spanks us. I'm thankful that in these last days, men would become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Understand this, my brother and sister, we're living in that day that was spoke about in 2 Timothy. We're living in that day right here, right now. That's why you see in January and in February, every Super Bowl time, churches have big old Super Bowl parties. hey, there's nothing wrong with the Super Bowl recorded. We have DVRs now. You can go home and watch the Frazzlin Super Bowl after we have church. We have all kinds of technology things where we can record it and go home and watch it after we've been in the presence of God. Because I'm going to be honest, when God begins to move and God begins to set people free, there are going to be people that won't care about the Super Bowl. Because what the church needs is the church needs to be on fire again. Everybody comes out to see a fire. Everybody comes out to see a blaze. What we need in these last days is some men and women, boys and girls on fire for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need some men and women to say, no, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. Even if it cost them their peers, their friends. And I've had many people tell me I was crazy, that, oh, that's just Brother Sean. Maybe it's not. If it's in the book, we need to take heed to it. We need to listen to it. I don't care if it comes from a 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl. Maybe God wants to speak to you through that 12-year-old boy or that 12-year-old girl. He spoke through a donkey to a man because he was going the wrong way. Maybe the Lord of Glory wants to speak to you through somebody that you don't think he can speak through. That's how God works in my life. I'll have customers tell me things. I know it wasn't that customer. I'll know that it wasn't that customer talking to me. I know that God took over their lips and God took over their mouth, and because it pricks my heart. When God pricks my heart, I know, and you know. You cannot deny that you know that when God speaks to you and God tells you, no, back up, hold up, wait a minute. See, I love this morning's service about walking in love, because you know what? Everything hinges on love. All the gifts, all the power, all the glory of God hinges on that love. And I've ministered it before, but it's, oh, so good to see the Spirit of God take control of people. And people love one another. And people, even if there's indifferences, put the indifferences aside and say, that's not as important as me loving you. Because I want to do what my Master says to do, and that's to love you. And I'm going to tell you something, our flesh doesn't always want to love. But freely we've received, and freely we got to give. There are times we don't deserve God's love. And you all know your seasons of trial and your seasons of testings when you don't deserve it, but He gives it. Because He gives an unending love. An undeserving love He grants to us. And He gives to us. And oh, what we need in these last days is some men and women that love one another. And love His house. And love His body. And love His people. We're living in a time, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That is when this was written. May I submit to you, my brother and sister, perilous times are here. We're living in a time where we're in a war. God forbid anything else happen with another country, because we're so involved in Iraq that we wouldn't be able to get our troops over here in time to defend our nation if another country decided to attack us. Thank you for the amen. We don't have enough money in the budget in these last days to support another attack like Pearl Harbor. Thank you for the amen. That's why we need to stay submitted to God. We need to stay humbly bowed, contrite before the Lord of Glory. We're living in a time where you might be driving down the road and some idiot might get on I-75 when you're on 41 and just decide to start taking a sniper rifle and shooting people. That's the type of times we're living in. Over the last month, I've heard nothing but murder on the news. This person murdered, that person murdered, this person shot, and that person shot. Why? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's called a maligner. He's called a murderer. And yet people still want to serve Him every day. If you're not serving Jesus, you're serving somebody. And it's the devil. There is no middle ground. You can't have it both ways. You're either serving the Lord of Glory or you're serving the Lord of the flies. And you take your choice which one you want to serve. But I chose a long time ago to serve the Lord of Glory. That doesn't mean I haven't had my setbacks. I haven't had my problems. But I've got up and I've dusted myself off and I've chosen to serve the Lord of Glory. See, there's not a problem with falling sometimes in the muck, in the mire. It's when you humble yourself and let God pull you out of that muck and mire and clean you off. I can get up and I can dust myself off. Oh, but when I get up and I let Him dust me off, It's a whole different ball game, my brother and sister. It's a whole different clean. It's a whole different love. That was weak. My goodness, they get better collapse baseball games for the New York Yankees. Boy, that was weak, but that's okay. There's only a few of us here. There's only 500 of us here. That's how weak it was. No, I'm just kidding. There's really only about 10 of us here. That might be stretching one or two people. But it doesn't matter how many people are here. God made a promise to us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's here in the midst. And he's here to talk to us, and he's here to direct us, and he's here to coach us, and he's here to teach us. And I love the fact that God can coach us and God can direct us. Sometimes he does it sternly. Sometimes he does it softly. Sometimes he does it tenderly. It just depends how hard-headed we try to be sometimes. Sometimes we kick against the pricks because we don't want to admit that we were wrong. Thank you for the amens. I've been wrong many a times in my life. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say I'll probably be wrong going down the road somewhere else. I'll probably be wrong because I haven't arrived yet. I have not arrived yet. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Pay attention. Whoa, wow, look out. Watch out that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're living in the last days. We're living in the latter times. And oh, it is so imperative that we take up this word, this precious word, and we keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, that we guard our hearts, that we guard our eyes, that we guard our ears, and we look in this word, and we pick it up, we say, "Lord, lead me and guide me in all truth," because none of us in this room are above error. Because if we don't guard our heart, we can have a tendency to somehow let some type of root get on us, and the enemy begin to turn us in a direction that we don't necessarily want to go. The Bible talks about the enemy taking him captive at his will. And see, but the Bible also talks about if we submit ourselves, resist the devil and flee, he's got to flee. But we've got to submit ourselves to God. We've got to be humble and contrite, and we've got to bow before the Lord. I've never seen a bowing, submitted Christian under an attack from the enemy and bound with chains and shackles. Thank you for the amen. But I have seen some people that have not been submitted to God. They said they were submitted to God, but when they would go home, they would read tarot cards, or they would toke up or shoot up, or they would drink alcohol, and they would be addicted to alcohol, and they would claim a peace that they didn't have because they never met the Lord of glory. And if they met the Lord of glory, something went sour, something went wrong with their walk. When we put down this word, we put him down, my brother and sister. Thank you for the amens. When we don't pick up our Bibles, the flesh gains another advantage because we haven't crucified the flesh that day. And oh, I don't know about you, but I need my flesh crucified every day. I need it crucified. I need it nailed to the cross every single day of my life. We're living in a time where men and women in churches go to church, but there is no Christ and there is no cross in the churches that they go to. There is no Christ mentioned that he can forgive sins, that he can set free, and there is no cross mentioned that he hung on that cross to die for them in love and in shackles. Nowadays, it's more like this. It's come to Jesus and he'll bless your business. It's come to Jesus and he'll give you everything that he wanted. It's never come to Jesus. You might have to lose your best friend. You might have to lose that business. You might have to lose some of your flaky friends. You might have to lose your family members. Because understand this, that Jesus said, if you don't love me more than these, you're not even worthy in my kingdom. But we don't hear that in these days and in these times because it's not popular. It's not fad. It's not famous. It's not hip. So we don't talk about things that aren't hip in the church today, because we want the church to be hip so we can get the younger generation in. The older generation's passing, but that younger generation that's behind them, we got to be hip now instead of be straightforward and honest. That's the times that we're living in, my brother and sister. I know of churches that talk about God. There's a difference in talking about God and knowing God. There's a difference about talking about sin and talking against sin. There's a vast difference, my brother and sister, and we need men and women that will not only talk against it, they will say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're living in a day where men and women don't even have to repent, and the Bible says that without repentance, there is no remission of sins. We can't even be saved unless we repent and bow our knees and bow our life to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. But that's the times that we're living in. Oh, we're also living in a time where woe to them that call evil good and good evil. We're living in a time that they portray evil as good and good evil, it says in the Old Testament. But oh, that's the times that we're living in. Harry Potter, there's nothing. I found a Christian website this afternoon, and it had a question: is Harry Potter evil or is it not? And would you believe that 48% of America... churchgoers, let me rephrase that, 48% of churchgoers say that it's not evil, and only 6% say that it's evil. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Harry Potter is nothing more than a mystical witchcraft. Infiltrated Wicca is witchcraft, for those of you that don't know, and that's exactly what it's portraying in the movie, through the books and everything. It's portraying the Wicca religion. Well, Wicca is a religion, for those of you that don't know. And if you hear this at the sound of my voice through a tape or through an email, witchcraft is wrong. We're living in a time where we have Christian organizations that are recognized throughout the world, or endorsing movies such as The Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, and it shouldn't be, my brother and sister. There should be a vast difference between the righteous and the wicked. There should be a vast difference between the world and the church. But oh, we're living in a time where the world is in the church and the church is in the world. Oh, there was a time when the church wasn't of the world, when the church had power, when the church had authority, when the church had glory, when the church prayed, things happened. When men and women of God prayed, God moved. And God wants to reposition us to that place where when we pray, the hand of God moves. People will know that it was the Lord of glory that moved in our behalf. It wasn't a witch, it wasn't anything, but it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that moved in our behalf. But we're living in a time that people call evil good and good evil. It's evil for a man and woman to stay married 50 years now. It is. In today's society, man, if you've been married longer than 7 years, you achieved a great accomplishment in today's society, in the world today. I got people at work that be married 2, 3, 4 times, and they wonder why they're so unhappy. And I tell them it's Jesus. And hey, they know I'm Pentecostal, and they have a Baptist background. And I got a friend at work named Derry, and he doesn't hold it against me, and I don't hold it against him. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you know, he's from West Virginia. I told him he's used to that. He said, I can't deal with the preachers down here in Florida. He said, all they do is talk. I'm used to that fire and that brimstone. I said, well, then you need to come to church with me, and we'll get you some fire and brimstone. We'll get you some fire and brimstone preaching, Derry. I said, just come on to church with me. He says, I might do that one time. And I said, all right, I'm not going to pressure you. And we eat lunch together every day. We go down to Checkers or Taco Bell or Pancho Villas, and we have lunch every day. And he goes, you're the first person I've met that bows and their head before they pray and says their blessing. I said, Derry, I'm just doing what I believe that Jesus would have me do. And we have a good relationship, and we get along fine at work, and it's just amazing that I get to talk to a West Virginian Baptist brother. Well, he's not a brother, but I'm praying for him that he's going to get saved. He needs to get saved. He said he believes, and you know how that goes. Is you know, I believe, and that's as far as they want to take it. And I've had to deal with that my whole life. I believe in God. The devils believe in fear and tremble. But I asked him a question the other day. I said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? I can't answer that right now. I said, that's all I needed to hear. At least you acknowledge that. At least he acknowledges that. That if he died, he's unsure where he goes. Because I've talked to many quote-unquote people that if they died, that they would go to heaven. And their lifestyle depicts that they would not go to heaven. Because the Bible protects, the Bible specifically speaks, no fornicator, no adulterer, no drunkard. And I can go on and on. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. I take that as enter into the kingdom of heaven. I take that as going into the door of heaven. Thank you for the amen. And nobody that's living in that type of lifestyle that's a drunk is going to go to heaven. Nobody that's going out fornicating, is having premarital sex, is going to go to heaven. No homosexual is going to go to heaven. Oh, if I was in Canada, I'd be fined and thrown in jail. Oh, yeah. In Canada, you can't. John Hagee and all those guys that are in there, they cannot talk against homosexuality, or they will be thrown off the air. Not allowed in Canada anymore because of the times that we live in. Because the person that's over the whole technology television institute is a homosexual. So when men and women stand behind the pulpit, they know full well that God prompts them to say something. If they say it, they're going to be thrown off the air. I pray somebody gets enough backbone to say it. Because this Jesus loves the man, but he hates his sin. Jesus wants to forgive the man and set the man free. Because you are not born this way. It's a choice. Thank you for the amen. God loves the homosexual. God loves the heterosexual. But you are not born that way. We're living in the last days. So many perilous things have happened over the last 10 years. We've had 9/11. We've had the bridge in Mississippi. We've had the hurricanes. So many catastrophic things have happened. When are our loved ones going to wake up and realize that Jesus is coming very, very soon? And if he's coming soon, I don't know when he's coming. And no man knows the hour, the Bible says. But his coming is at the door. The gospel is being preached in China and in Russia. And once this gospel's gone through the whole world and everybody's heard, Jesus is coming, my brother and sister. But first, everyone's going to be given a chance to hear the gospel, the true, unadulterated, pure gospel, that there was a man that came, that went to a cross, that bled and died for you and me, that you and I might be forgiven of our sins, and that we might go to have our sins forgiven and go to a glorious heaven. My brother and sister, we're living in a time where we need to circle the wagons, and we need to come together the more, and we need to pray one for another, and we need to bear one another's burdens, because we're living in a time where the enemy is trying to wear down the saints. He's working overtime. That sometimes we don't understand why we are so tired. And it's because the enemy's doing everything he can to try to wear us down. So we don't have that energy when we see that person in need to pray for. Or the Spirit of God can't prompt us because we're so lethargic because of the day that we've had at work. Understand, our enemy's very, very benign. But our enemy can be defeated. Jesus defeated him. Jesus wants to teach us to defeat him. God wants us to walk in an abundant peace, an abundant joy, and an abundant health. He wants us to know that we have an abundance of love that he has towards us. Everybody talks about the abundant life, and they always portray it to money. And every time I hear it, it makes me sick. Because the abundant life has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with the kingdom of God. And oh, that men and women would wake up and would wise up and take their money and just keep it in their pocket and pick up their Bibles and read it. They wouldn't have to waste their money on a prayer cloth. Paul didn't charge. Paul didn't charge, my brother and sister. First, I'll be watching somebody, and as soon as they click, 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 because I just ain't got time for that foolishness. God will supernaturally heal somebody through a cloth that an anointed man or woman's been used under the power of God, and they can send it out freely, and God can set men and women free. But we don't get on no television and say, for your best love gift, send in your love offering and we'll send you to the cloth. That's a bunch of hogwash. If Jesus was on this earth, he'd kick over the television. He'd go into the TV studio and he'd start to kick things over, because he did it in the temple with the money changers. He would kick it over. I know you guys are laughing, but I'm being serious. That's exactly what our Lord and Master would do. He would get a righteous indignation. A holy fire would just take over him. And he would just kick it over, the frazzling thing over, and say, you don't know what spirit you're of. We got men that don't even know what spirit they're of. They're following this man and that man because it's popular. I don't want to follow the popular crowd, because you know what? Jesus wasn't that popular. In all reality, yeah, they followed him when the signs and wonders attended and the miracles. But as soon as the cross came, see, that's the focal point. That's the centerpiece of the gospel, is the cross. And if you take that element out of the gospel, we have no forgiveness. We have no salvation. We have no forgiveness of sins. And for men and women to take the focal point, the centerpiece out of the gospel, oh, is disrespectful to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. To say that you can have everything that you've ever wanted, just come to God, is hideous. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. I've had people I've looked up to in this church depart from the faith. My brother and sister, they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm telling you, we are living in the people that I never thought in my entire life would turn their back on God, would turn their back on us, and would walk away from the things of God, walked away because they gave heed to a seducing, lustful spirit. They walked away from God, and they walked away from you and me, but more importantly, they walked away from Him. They turned their back on Him, and oh, we see that time and time again. But I've got good news. There are people departing, but there are people that are coming to Him. It also says that in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to see visions. See, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon His headmaids and upon His men servants. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whosoever will, let him come. Let him come to the fount of glory, the fount of forgiveness. Let him come to the one who can forgive them, the one that can wash them and cleanse them and set them in their right mind. But we're living in a time that people have departed. People are coming to Him in other countries, and people in America are departing. We've seen that when 9/11 happened, great, great hordes of people flocked to churches, but they didn't flock to God. There's a difference. Just because you have people in a building doesn't make it a righteous gathering. No more than me sitting in the garage makes me a car. There's a vast difference, my brother and sister. We need the cross in the center point of the things of God again in the churches. We need the cross preached. We need the cross taught. Once again, we need the cross back in the messages of today. We have it on the back burner because it's not popular. What we need is some men that stand behind pulpits to get sick and tired of God not moving, of shallow, empty doctor's reports. What we need is the cross back. The glory back. There's glory in that cross. There was a death on that cross. Oh, but 3 days later, there was a great resurrection. And that resurrection power that rose him from the dead lives inside of you and me. And it'll quicken. It'll make us come alive. That's exactly what it did when we became born again. We were dead. We were dead men walking, and we repented, and we came to Jesus. We were quickened. We were made alive. And oh, what a glorious day. Can you remember the day that you came to Jesus? Can you remember the time that you bowed at the glorious foot of the cross? Can you remember that time when His love and His joy and His peace saturated and filled your heart? And you knew that you knew. I didn't have to tell you, or nobody else had to tell you. You knew that your sins were forgiven. You knew you were clean and you were white. And you were standing clean before the King of Kings and your Lord, your Master, and your Savior. Oh, that's what we need. We need the Lord of glory preached again. We need lordship back in the churches of America today. We need pastors that bow to this Jesus, bow to Him in lordship, that let Him be the Lord of their life. We need moms and dads to let Jesus be the Lord of their life. We need teenagers to let Jesus be the Lord of their life. But in today, see, we got to have the high impact services. You know, we got to have Aisha Woods and other Christian artists come, because they're not going to come unless we entertain them. What we need is the glory of God to entertain the church again. It'll captivate the sinner. It'll captivate the lost person like no other thing in this world can captivate. Once you've seen the glory and tasted the glory, nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else will satisfy you. That's why coming up through the ranks, the Lord has embedded, it's stamped it into my heart of, it's got to be the cross. I remember having Bible studies. I didn't know much. I'd just come back to Jesus, and we would have prayer meetings, and we would have Bible studies. And every time I'd go to teach or have a Bible study, the Lord would always bring me back to, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I didn't understand then how powerful that statement is how powerful that study was, because see, that's the focal point. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the gospel in a nutshell, my brother and sister. And oh, we've seen some mighty evidences of people saved and people set free. And hey, not everybody stayed and followed on to know the Lord, but there's one in this church tonight. There's actually two in this church tonight that did, that followed on to know the Lord. I remember going after Jimmy. Me and Philip went after Jimmy. Bless the Lord. And he was kind of reserved and held back and set back. And he was kind of watching us, seeing if we were going to be sincere and seeing if we were real. And I didn't mind it a bit. And Philip did the same thing. When I went to see Philip, I think it was Jason Pogue with me. I can't even remember. But I went to see Philip. We went to Frisch's over there on Florida Avenue. And we were sitting, and he goes, is it real? I said, it's real, man. It's real, it's real, it's real. It's real this time. I know before I've had some dealings with the Lord, and I had some brushes with Christianity, but there's something different this time. And he didn't want to hear it, so he went his way, and I went home, and I just began to pray for him. I remember having a prayer meeting, and somehow we got him on the phone, and we went in Ditter's car. We went in Ditter's car to pick him up because we didn't have no money. I'm going to tell you all about a miracle. We didn't have any money. We had an eighth of a tank, and he lived over on 23rd Street over here in Tampa. And we was in Land O'Lakes, so you do the math. You do the math in the gas, and we went all the way to 23rd Street on an eighth of a tank of gas, and all the way home, and the gas gauge never moved. And that, but you know why? Because I was sincere about seeing my brother come back to Christ. And God knew it. And they were sincere about seeing people come to Jesus. And we'd been praying, and we'd been praying for God to send us souls, and we'd been praying for God to save souls, and God began to save. And Philip gave his heart and life to Jesus, and Philip and I went after Jimmy, and Jimmy was a little bit reserved. And he came over to my mom's house, and eventually, I think he was sitting on the couch one time, and the Spirit of God hit him, and he fell backwards. What a coincidence. He fell backwards, and I love how the Spirit of God works in mysterious ways. You might be the hardest headed person in the world, but God knows how to talk to you, and God knows how to get to you. Glory be to God. But that's what God wants to do in these last days. He wants to save. He wants to save the lost. And He wants to save the bound and set them free. That's exactly what we're on this earth for, my brother and sister, is to proclaim liberty to the bound, to set the captives free. That's exactly why you go to work where you go to work. That's why Michael works with all them hellions down in Plant City, is so he can show them that there is a true gospel, that there is a true peace, that there is the way, the truth, and the life, and His name's Jesus. It's not necessarily in your mama and daddy's denomination, but it is in the Christ, the Lord of glory, and His name's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's in that man that we find peace. It's in that man that we find forgiveness, and it's in that man that we find strength. It's in the man, Christ Jesus. It's not in the First Assembly of God or the First Baptist Church. It's in the man, Christ Jesus. Get out of your denomination if you're at the sound of my voice, and out of your creed, and get back into the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to read this in closing. Y'all don't have to turn there. But I quoted it, but I want to read it verbatim. Acts 2:17 says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." God wants to pour out His spirit upon all flesh. We hear of what's going on in China and Africa, and oh, I long to see it in America. But I personally believe that it's going to be them that come over here and turn America upside down, because they've got something pure. We've got something that's been perverted. Not everybody that's in the sound of my voice, but there something in America has been, the gospel in America has been perverted. There are those that have a pure, and there are those that have a true. But a majority of the ministers in America, and I know I'm going to step on some toes, but it's okay. The gospel has been perverted, because you hear more about money than you do forgiveness of sins. And over there, they're giving up businesses. They're giving up businesses, and over here we got to keep our business. They want us to keep our businesses so we can give more tithes into the offering so they can have a wealthier lifestyle. Oh, I hope this tape gets to certain people. But anyhow, I'm just speaking the truth. I personally believe that a South African, an African's going to come over here and may come to a big church, small church, don't matter. But there's going to be pockets of revival hit America, because there are those in America that want to see a genuine move of the Spirit of God. There are those in America that want to see the glory of God attend the church again. And hey, I might be wrong, but I'm just telling you what I personally believe. They've got something that's pure. They've got something where they talk about their miracles of the book of Acts are happening in China. They've got something that's pure that we lost a long, long time ago that we need back so desperately. And we can get it back, but it's going to take some men to bow at the foot of the cross. It's going to take me to bow at the foot of the cross and you to bow at the foot of the cross. But it can be done if we just would but bow at the foot of the cross. And we would just humble ourselves at the foot of the cross. We cannot come to this cross with, "I'm the music leader, I'm the technical director, I'm the Sunday school leader, I'm the pastor." No, all that's not important when you come to the foot of the cross. I'm going to put it to you like this. There were two men. One was a publican, one was a sinner. And he was on his knees beating his chest, the Bible says. And he said, "Lord, forgive me." And the man says, "Lord, don't make me like that man." And the Bible goes on to say, which one do you think that was forgiven, the publican or the sinner? The sinner was forgiven because he was beating his chest saying, Lord, forgive me. The publican went on in his sin, my brother and sister. That is the type of ministry that we have going on in America today is there's nothing wrong with me. I've got everything right. Look at how many people are following me. That is the great lie. That is the great lie. That is the great lie in America. Oh, that we need to bow at the foot of the cross of Christ the Lord again. Oh, that men would bow and women would bow at the foot of Mount Calvary again. Because at Mount Calvary, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was not forgiven, but now I am forgiven. But see, all of our titles go out the window at the foot of this cross. All nationalities go out the window. All races go out the window when we come to the foot of this cross. Oh, that we would get to the foot of the cross again. Oh, at the cross we have forgiveness and we have sanctification. Oh, and beyond the cross we have resurrection power. Oh, thank you, Father. Would you please stand? Thank you, Father.